medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wapshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colos IS Support. With me this week, and most weeks, is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Paul, it's still most weeks until you've been here several weeks in a row. Then I can maybe switch it back.
I was going to say, is there a bar that I have to hit? Is there like a minimum attendance requirement?
I suppose I shouldn't give you too much crap because you did make it like 86 episodes before you missed one. So that's pretty good.
Technically, I didn't miss it. You just weren't available to record when I was, and you decided to go rogue, but that's all right. You can blame me. All right. Well, what's going on with you?
What is going on with me? I am confused by the Denver weather. It is almost Christmas, according to the calendar and according to the decorations I hung. But the weather feels more like Florida, not what I thought Christmas would feel like in Denver. So I'm a little confused.
Does that include the wind, the hurricane winds?
See, that's why it felt like Florida. It felt like home. I mean, the hurricane winds that ripped through yesterday were quite amazing with some wind gusts, almost 110 miles an hour here in Colorado. And I think, where was it, Wyoming? It was like 144 miles an hour.
Wow.
Ooh, hold on to your hats, folks.
Crazy. Well, what do we have on the docket today?
Well, we have a special guest with us today.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, we do. Didn't you get the memo?
Maybe.
Or did you just not read the memo since all my emails go to your trash?
Well, yeah, there is that rule that I've set up.
True. I know, right? Well, today we're going to talk about the new, I'll put that in little air quotes for people that can't see it, My Oracle Support. And we have Yannick Melendez with us today to kind of help answer some questions we might have. Welcome, awesome. Yannick.
Hey, folks. Appreciate the invite, the opportunity to come talk about a pretty popular topic these days. It's not too often that Oracle launches a brand new support portal. So we'll kind of get into the ins and outs of it. Obviously, happy to do so. Maybe not quite training level discussion for our users out there. I know they might be a little desperate for that with such change. And we can kind of touch on some support processes and just some generic support topics as well. Hopefully people are familiar, but like you guys will have seen at a lot of the conferences, we're just seeing a lot of new lifeblood in the JDE space, which is good. So just kind of staying up to date on support, whether that's net new or just a refresh for folks.
Awesome. Welcome, Yannick, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind. So for folks that don't know you or your role, why don't you let them know?
Sure. I'm a senior manager in the support organization here at Oracle. I am probably still considered a spring chicken in the JDE world. I have just over 10 years of experience, so I know there's a lot of catching up for me to do still when it comes to most of our user base and a lot of our attendees that I bump into in our different conferences and such. So my background has mostly been kind of in the design tool space. So the form design aid and business function areas, UDOs and things like that, that was my stomping ground before I stepped into management. And now I get to see all of it as a manager. There's not a space untouched when it comes to some of the topics I'm dealing with for the most part. So every day is different.
Excellent. Very, very cool.
Sometimes having every day different is a good thing. Sometimes you're like, could I just have a routine day here and there?
Yeah, I can't tell whether it's a blessing or a curse. I need more time to figure that out.
I get it. So where do we want to start? Should we start with the new look and feel?
Sure. Let's talk about the new CMOS, the new MOS. Internally, we've got to keep calling it CMOS because obviously we've uplifted to the cloud. We've modernized the support platform is more or less one of the key objectives that the business wanted to achieve from what it seems like. and we're able to put it on the cloud. We're able to give it a Redwood UI. So just a more modern platform through and through is really what we're looking at. And with that, we know that there's some big changes. So I guess, what are some of the main questions that you think you're seeing, Chandra?
Well, one of the questions, I actually just sat on the Tech Coffee and Connect call, and one of the questions that came up was, can I no longer search on a bug?
So you can search on a bug with this uplift, more or less. Bug visibility is now given to those bugs that are completed. So for the most part, once a bug is completed, there's a referenceable doc. That document is going to have a link to the fix, whether that be a given ESU, tools release, etc.
So I think my follow-up question, as also a SIG leader in the past, we have always said, you know, make sure to get yourself attached to an existing bug. But if I don't know it's out there, how do I do that?
That's a pretty common question with this new change. And for the most part, it's all going to be service request driven. And we understand that that's an extra step that customers have to do, but it does add a little bit of advantage in that we can really validate against a customer's use case and situation, what they're seeing in terms of the issue. And we can validate it against an open bug or a net new bug if it needs to be created. I'll give an example, and it's something that we see with a lot of the more common and sought after bugs that come, is that customers report it, say, hey, I've got this use case, I have this bug, and I need a fix for it. Say they get the fix for it. We turn around, they implement it, and they say, hey, it's not fixed. And that's more or less just a slight gap in interpretation. So when you open that SR, we do have visibility to what the open bugs are here in support, and we'll be able to validate that to make sure that we're attaching your use case to the appropriate bug, as opposed to maybe needing a net new one. And development is still going to get all the information that it needs in terms of what priority are we really driving in terms of the customer base, who's looking for what in terms of the quantity of customers, and with the type of business impact and urgency we're seeing attached to that.
Okay. As a SIG leader, I'm still going to encourage my SIG group members to also log that bug or enhancement request, as it might be, on the Quest side as well, but we'll lose that tie back. But I'm assuming, hopefully, as part of this transition, the leaders within Oracle that are involved with the SIG groups will be able to help us get that populated in there. Sure. So maybe that's a way we can then reach out to say, hey, I saw this bug or I saw this enhancement request, and I would really like the same feature or the same thing solved.
Yeah. And you have a situation, you open up a service request and say it's a net new bug, or we identify an issue with an existing bug that's not yet completed. We're still able to provide you a bug number and that bug title. And so that's a referenceable point to where we're able to really connect what's going on with the Oracle side of things and what we have in motion, as well as how we socialize things appropriately in those SIG meetings, at the conferences, and through those Quest channels that we're talking about. So it doesn't go completely into a black hole. And now, you know, the onus comes on us to be sure to engage support, make sure that we're validating what it is that you think we're seeing. And then from there, in the background, we're still driving those processes based on what volume of customers we're seeing for what. And that gives Paul and his team all the ability to kind of make it happen.
Yeah, I think the reassurance there that the process, Chandra, that you and I outlined, I think at InFocus 2 years ago.
I think so.
Still remains largely intact. There's just an extra step really to submit the SR, to work with support, to get yourself attached to the existing enhancement request. And we won't lose that visibility, and we'll still understand how many customers really are interested in an enhancement. So that's good.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Were there other questions that came up in your recent SIG conversation?
No, that was the primary one that came up. Somebody had asked for a bug number, and they had a bug number, and they put it in the chat. And shortly thereafter, it was a, can we no longer look up bugs? So I didn't answer. Sure. I knew the answer, but I didn't answer.
Oh, I see. I see.
I let somebody else answer that, more qualified.
So, Yannick, from your perspective, obviously we put this out new. We moved everybody's cheese, as we know. I mean, that just happens, right, when we do these things. What are some of the more common questions you're getting that you'd like to basically use this forum to help answer?
Yeah. So two really pressing topics when it comes to the customers and the partner community, particularly in JDE, is how do I search things within KM and where did my certifications go? Are more or less two really hot topics. So I'll take those in order. The first one, when you log on to the new support portal, basically you get in there and at the top, there's the search bar. Now, I'm not reductive enough to just leave it at that and tell people to use their search bar. They know that already, right? After you conduct a search, and we all know that using the right verbiage is going to help you a lot. So prefacing things with JD Edwards or Enterprise One, E1, those types of things are going to be really key. Thereon, there's a filter bar that comes up after you search. You process that search. The filter bar is going to have a list of services and service groups. Now, if you go into the services, people might be overwhelmed just by the amount of JD Edwards services that are in that dropdown. They never knew we had so many products, Paul, I promise you. However, what you can do is you could just type in Oracle JD Edwards. That will really get you to the crux of really what you're trying to get to, which is E1 stuff. Maybe you're a World customer. It will include World software, but in my testing, typing in that Oracle JD Edwards is going to get you there. People will notice in the render page with all the search results, it's going to go over knowledge. It'll have some documentation. It'll have community posts and things like that. Most often people are just really looking for the documents and it'll render three results. Below that third result, before you get down to communities, documentation, all that other stuff, you can click view more. And that will expand your search to just documentation. It'll take some of those other factors out of the way if that's not what you're interested. So that's a decent way to kind of get there. If you have a legacy document ID, that should work within the search bar and that they are all migrated over. I promise we did not have the time to just handwrite those back out and pop them in the new system. And they should be referenceable within that. If you're having issues with that, be sure to bring it up to us in support and we can take a look to see where any disconnect might be lying. So everybody's still alive. I know I just went over a lot with the search.
It's all good.
Okay.
I mean, searching has always been a challenge. Using the right nomenclature, using the right verbiage, it's always been one of those tricks or tips. And then, of course, the experience is slightly different. So understanding how to navigate that's going to help quite a bit. So I do appreciate going to that level of detail of here's almost physically how to conduct a search now because it is different. Did you have a question, Chandra? Sorry.
I did, actually. If I was going to search in the search bar on, let's say, retainage, and I wanted something from JD Edwards, rather than searching, clicking, and then doing the Oracle JD Edwards in the little box that pops up for services, could I do retainage and should I use like a comma or a colon and then do Oracle JD Edwards? Can I do it that way as well?
I'm going to have to show a little chink in my armor that I haven't really taken it to that level of searching yet. So it's possible that that would tighten things up. I've certainly found the product filter to be the most consistent. And that's more or less when we talk about retainage, how many Oracle products are going to have that kind of feature, or that kind of module involved in there. And so if you really want to leave it up to just JDE items, I would just suggest the filter to each their own.
Got it.
If you find a hack, I need you to email me because everybody's going to want to know.
Right? Exactly. I get it. I get it.
We're going to get rid of the Midwesternism for the next few months. And as we discover these little tips and tricks, we'll just have our CMOS section of our episodes. Yeah, CMOS tip of the day.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
So then you got the certifications.
Yeah, certifications. So at first glance, it looks like it might have just disappeared because we almost had our own list where it was called certifications. And that is more or less grouped into an area of CMOS that is titled Patches and Product Certification Matrix. So if you just click on the search bar, there's actually a drop down within the new MOS that has a number of different categories: communities, news, training and certification, not to be confused with Patches and Product Certification Matrix. That's what we're looking for, just for people to be aware. They may initially load the page and say, well, that's not certifications, and that there's two tabs to the page and it loads patches first. So you have to switch over to Product Certification Matrix. Once that page loads, it's a different look and feel in terms of the user interface, which everybody knows already. I've checked, the information is apples to apples comparable. It's all the same. You want to make sure, just like in the old system, when you're searching certifications, you're doing it by the component that you're directly working with. So if you need to check on something for Server Manager or your database server or your BSSV server, those types of things, you want to search by those elements. It's a really specific item. We support just a lot of platforms, and a lot of different servers on customer systems are connecting in really unique ways. So that CNC architecture really comes into play when you want to double check your certifications. That's the long and the short of it.
You know, while we don't use video, and maybe someday we will, we'll be out there on YouTube and make sure we all have good hair days.
I was like, oh boy.
As you are describing this, I'm actually going out to CMOS and clicking around. So I got a visual of what it is that you're saying, and I can see what you mean by patches and product certification. And then, yeah, there is two tabs, and it does make sense. But I could understand how you could easily just get a little bit squirreled, right?
Yeah.
So
those two items are put into more or less the same location within the new MOS. And I can understand that might have thrown people for a loop, but I promise it's all there.
Excellent.
So those are kind of the main things going on. And I guess I'll throw in one last one, if you don't mind. And that's more or less, how do I get help? I still don't know what I'm doing.
Yes, that was where I was going to go. Up next is,
okay,
if I still don't know what I'm doing, where do I go? You know, how do I get help?
So customers and external users will have been given some communications, and they will have some reference links, whether that's FAQs and different things like that. So if they ever reach out to me and they want to know these links, or if we want to post it, the details of the podcast, we can throw those down in there. Those are some quick references. And then if they have more intricate questions and situations that they're running into, the key resource is really going to be the MOS support team. And that's a matter of creating, unfortunately, folks, another SR. It's a non-technical SR. It's really MOS support. And that area, like, that's a team that specifically supports the portal itself. I know that it's easy to come to Paul or myself or some other folks within the JDE space that work at Oracle internally and say, hey, how do I do this? Or, you know, I'm trying to do that. And though we interact with the portal, our version is just a little bit different, and it's not always apples to apples. We don't want to misguide you. So it's best to really go to the team that's designated for that. Right. That's for perhaps some of the more complicated questions for much smarter, more trained people than I.
If you've lost the ability to like log a service request, do you reach out to like your internal admin? Do I, I can't really open a ticket because guess what?
Right.
I don't see the plus button anywhere.
If you know an internal admin for your MOS access, that's absolutely step one. Step two is really going to be coming down to giving the hub a call and saying, hey, I've got an access issue. I need you to help me out. Chances are is they're going to need that administrator because they're going to have company and account specific information that you're going to need to be able to attach to whatever business that you're working with. Say you're a business partner and you're opening on behalf of the customer. We know that that's super common. They're going to have to be in contact with the account that they're talking about. So it may not just be a customer employee trying to get in touch with the MOS portal. It could get a little more complex than that when working with the partner space. So you want to make sure that you're just connected with your customers or your administrator within your organization.
Perfect. Thank you.
Awesome. And we'll definitely put a link to the FAQs and what other resources you have that you want us to share. We'll put that in the resources of the episode for people to reference. Other things, I mean, just in general, then, Yannick, I don't know, unless Chandra, you get more questions or...
I don't at the moment. You know, I've been in here a couple times, mostly searching for just issues I was running into in my job. So for me, I did stumble across the filter bar fairly quickly and could navigate down to the JD Edwards, which it's nice that you have the option, by the way, to just select JD Edwards. You don't have to select kind of the module area, because sometimes you don't know if this falls under here or here. So it's nice for that. I found it to be relatively easy. I feel like the response time is pretty quick on it. I like the fact that it returns similar to what the old version, if you want to call it the non-cloud version, I don't know how we want to refer to it, you know, where you had your communities responses, you had your documents as well. So I'm glad to see that that hasn't gone away. That's helpful.
Yeah. And we understand it's a big change, but let's not make a mistake. We've gone through a lot of support changes over the lifespan of JDE. Like I said, I'm a spring chicken, but I hear of the old days when all the support tickets were inbound phone calls. So we've gone from phone calls, we took it to the internet, and now we've taken it to just kind of a modernized, it's an innovative uplift top to bottom. And we understand that there's always a learning curve, and we're taking all the time and resources that we need to make sure that everybody can be effective on it.
Great.
So that's the new MOS. Maybe one last topic people might be asking, okay, so what about my milestone? Because I know that we've had a major push to just be in contact with our customers about what's going on. What's the direction of JDE for you guys? What are you doing and when are you doing it? So that remains unchanged. You can still open a milestone related SR, an upgrade planning SR. One and the same, they kind of have a couple of different titles to them, but it's still the SR process to say, hey, I would like for you to be aware of this milestone. And then if you have questions about, well, what kind of risk am I taking for my business if I'm changing this much code? Or what's it look like if I'm doing this? Or I might have a problem here, and we're able to spin off SRs into any direction that you need within the JDE space, within the right people. So please, please continue to open those up. We love to know what our customers are doing. That way we can be as prepared as possible. Old portal or new portal, support's here really just to aid customer success. That's really just what this is about.
Absolutely.
Very helpful. Did all of our older tickets maybe that have been closed, did they make the migration over? I haven't gone to look.
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure I'd be ready to take the stand with this statement here. I'm pretty sure that any old SR, I think it's within the last couple of years, should be findable within the new portal. If that time frame is a little bit off or anything like that, I do apologize. But I do know that there was an effort to make some of your older SRs referenceable, you know, within the new MOS. And then obviously anything that was already open and existing was migrated over. So the titles and all that good stuff, that information should be unchanged.
Yep. I did have an open one and it did migrate over. So that was good. I know my company has a couple out there as well. So good to know that those all made it over. And I think we even had one logged by somebody here just this week. Took them a little bit. They just said it was a different look and feel.
Well, hopefully we're doing an okay job. If not, you know who to talk to. You got the inside lane. Pays to host a podcast, doesn't it?
Right? Gets me connected. Awesome. Thank you. This is very helpful. Hopefully our listeners picked up a tidbit or two. And like we said, we will put resources in our show notes for people to be able to get to a couple things pretty quickly.
Yeah. And like I said, it's not quite training level, but we wanted to at least get out there, and we recognize that this is a new thing for our customer base. And we just want to make sure that we can flatten that learning curve and let people know that we're here to support them.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Appreciate that. Thank you for taking the time to do that today. We do appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate the invite.
Well, we can't end without Midwesternism, though. I mean, come on. Now.
True.
I don't know. You know, Yannick, if you had a Midwesternism, I'm sure Chandra's got one queued up. But
I always have a Midwesternism queued up. It'll be a sad day when I run out.
I'm not from the Midwest, so my Midwesterners kind of isms are just, they might not be accurate. My ears were ringing earlier, something about pickled herring, but I can't quite put it together. You know, that's all I know. Are my psychic moves, are they still sharp here?
Yes, that was exactly what I was going to cover because, well, I was visiting with my dad the other day and we were talking about Christmas plans and we were going to go up to, my dad has an identical twin, so we were going to go up to his house for Christmas Day. As a child, I always remember there was pickled herring. My dad and most of his siblings enjoy the pickled herring. So as a kid, I didn't like it at all.
No.
It was like, no, don't put that stuff anywhere near me. I'm not eating it. But for those listeners that don't know what it is, I probably should give a little bit of a description. It's herring, so a fish, that most of the time it's cured in a two-step process. So it's first cured with salt to extract the water out of the herring. And then the salt is removed and the herring then is brined in a vinegar, salt, and sugar solution with peppercorn, bay leaves, raw onions, and so on. So just as I would make my standard refrigerator pickles, that's what I put in those, the vinegar, salt, sugar, peppercorn, bay leaves, raw onions. Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. Instead, you just put in some herring.
Okay.
After you've first done the cured with salt to remove the water from the fish, I guess.
So as you get older, do you now like it? I mean,
I haven't really actually ventured to the pickled herring. I think I was traumatized as a child, and but I'm going to try it this time when I'm home, assuming it's on the table somewhere. I actually would like to see if I like it. I love pickled things. I'm a huge fan of pickled items, so I feel like maybe I'll like it. But as a kid, I didn't like fish at all. I always thought fish tasted fishy. So as I've matured, my taste buds, I think, have matured because now I love fish and I like fish that used to taste fishy to me when I was younger. Like salmon, I know, can be a very strong fishy tasting at times, but maybe my taste buds have changed or maybe I just buy different fish that aren't as fishy. So
higher quality.
Yeah. And living 4 years down in Florida, for the most part, I got exposed to a lot of very fresh fish. I mean, I could just go to the farmer's market on Friday and grab some fresh fish for dinner. So the fresher it is, the less kind of chance there is of that fishy taste. So
what's the chance that you're going to dive into some pickled herring this holiday season?
I'd say it's 100% chance because I got to try it.
You heard it here first, people.
That's right.
I have to report back in the new year if I tried it and if I liked it, right?
I'll have it on my list of questions rather than, you know, what's going on today. We'll talk about how was your pickled herring.
I love it. And I think it can also come like in a creamed form, if I'm not mistaken, like a creamy pickled herring. Yeah, I've seen that as well. I've seen both versions served at various Christmas dinners when I was growing up. So I've seen it kind of in a creamy format as well. So,
well, I must admit, I've seen and had neither.
Oh, you've never had pickled herring?
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow. So I should send you some for Christmas then?
No, it's okay. I'll trust your judgment. I'll take your word for it when you come back. I don't know. I like pickled things as well. And I was not a fan of anchovies until I went to Madrid. So I don't see why I wouldn't enjoy a pickled herring. But for some reason, it just doesn't sound good to me. But who knows? If given the opportunity, whenever, I may give it a try and we'll see what happens. But we'll look forward to you reporting back in the new year.
Awesome. All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at thejdeconnection@questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya! Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.
Did you know staying in the JDE loop is easy with Quest? Sign up for the free JD Edwards newsletter or follow Quest JDE on LinkedIn or Facebook for the latest Oracle updates, new content, publications, and news on upcoming webinars and events. For more info, visit questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.